Senate Republican leader Dean Skelos will not be stepping down from his leadership post, though he faces federal corruption charges. That announcement was made late last night following a meeting of Senate Republicans. While his political status remains intact, the legal problems for Dean Skelos are just beginning. Earlier this morning, to discuss that aspect of this story, we spoke with Terry Connors of the Buffalo legal firm Connors and Velardo.
Good morning.
All right. So the reality of politics is that donors, in many cases, they make contributions to gain access. This is nothing new in politics. So there must be a fine line between gaining access and what Senator Skelos is being accused of, in essence, giving that access and putting a price on it. Can you maybe outline that fine line for us?
Well, there is a difference. And in this situation, the allegation is that what he did was to use his influence to benefit the business dealings of his son. And essentially what they're saying in the criminal complaint is that it's more than just a response to a constituent. He actually used his power, his office, and the influence that he wields over the legislators to try to make it better financially for his son and his son's company.
All right, you did mention something that's key to this, and that is this was a criminal complaint, not an indictment. Can you outline the difference for that for us?
Yes, I think when most people see the charges, they assume already that there's been an indictment. But this is different. This is a criminal complaint, which is a sworn affidavit filed by an investigative officer, and in this case, a member of the FBI. But so far, no evidence has been presented to a grand jury. That's going to be the next step. And there's no official indictment that's been returned. Now, as we all know, it's not very difficult to obtain that type of indictment. But it's an unusual procedure that they seem to follow in these political cases, where they outline the case in 50 pages of affidavits and then return the indictment several weeks or a month or so later.
What about that information that's in those complaints and where they got that from? Because it's fairly extensive, but you note that there might be just a little different kind of approach to this than maybe what we've seen in recent cases.
One of the most striking things about the complaint is the various types of surveillance and investigative techniques that were used. Keep in mind that they have recorded, consensually recorded calls, they have wiretaps, they have subpoenas and search warrants, and they have a number of cooperating witnesses referred to as CWs or informants in the criminal complaint. That's a broad, extensive way to conduct a criminal investigation.
As a defense attorney, then, would that be something that you think the defense attorney is going to have an opportunity perhaps to push back against?
Well, there's a wide array of defenses that I'm sure will be explored. You first have to look to determine whether or not any of these cooperating witnesses have a bias, have a reason for fabricating information. You also will look very closely at this case to determine, all right, what's the intent involved here? We all know the Joe Bruno case, and that case rose and fell on the question of intent, and that's going to be the same case for Sheldon Silver and for Dean Skelos. You know, what did they actually intend? Was it legitimate legislative activity in which they were looking to help constituents, or did it cross that line, as the prosecutor says, and actually monetize his role and make it turn into a money-making function for him and his family?
Terry Connors, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.